So time and time again, it's not always the team with the most talent. It's more times than not the team that is most connected and has those unselfish personalities.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Kyle Church, the assistant coach and general manager at the University of Michigan. Coach Church has built his career with stops at Ole Miss, Louisiana Tech, Chipola College, Florida, Florida Atlantic, and now University of Michigan. His great experiences have given him a unique perspective on both the coaching and roster building sides of today's game. In this episode, we discuss how he balances the responsibilities of both being an assistant and a general manager, how programs evaluate how much to invest in one player versus another based on ability, production, fit, and also what young coaches should start to do right away if they want to stand out in today's landscape. Please welcome to the podcast, Kyle Church. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Rising Coaches Podcast, your host, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Today, alongside us, we are fortunate to talk with the assistant coach and general manager at the University of Michigan, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Church. Coach Church, welcome.
Thanks for having me. That was quite the introduction. I appreciate it.
No, of course. Appreciate you, Casey. This is awesome, man. Glad you could jump on.
Yeah, great to see you, Coach. I appreciate it. It's been a while. Look forward to spending a little time with you guys.
Absolutely.
Only the best for the best. Only the best for the best. No, it's good to be able to get you on here. For those who maybe have been living under a rock and haven't able to see, but you guys have been absolutely rolling this year. We don't want to say, I know we were saying before, we don't want to say too much because you still have a lot more to go, but obviously congratulations on what you have done so far. That being said, just with you, your history, your background, that's obviously something that we're going to dive into. One thing that stands out, and I want to make sure to point out to people, is you've worked alongside your head coach, Dusty May, for what, 12 of your 14 years? So it's a long time across multiple programs. Started your career in roles, GA operations, came an assistant, now GM as well. But thinking back into those early years, breaking into coaching, what were some maybe lessons that you learned early on that really helped shape how you build and operate work with teams now? Was there anything early?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, it's funny that Coach Major's here that we're talking about my past. He came on at Charlotte the year I graduated as a I was fortunate enough to play for Coach Lutz for the last 4 years of his run at Charlotte. And Coach Major was coming in and our paths crossed briefly. And we actually had a discussion or two about me wanting to get into coaching and ended up the way things worked. I got connected with Mike White over. He was an assistant for Andy Kennedy at Ole Miss. And so I went there as a GA and ended up in Louisiana Tech with Coach White as the head coach. And he actually hired Dusty May. Dusty was actually on the staff that just got let go and he retained Dusty. And that's where I was fortunate enough to meet Dusty. That would have been my second year out of college. I got my master's at Louisiana Tech. And like you talked about, finished out my GA role and bounced around quite a bit. But again, fortunate enough I learned at a really young age, you just surround yourself with great people and people that you really believe in. And Coach White, Coach May, and all the fellow assistants we've had along the years have just been phenomenal.
Who started the coaching?
Great coaches and just making sure you're in the right
high school coach, Coach Lutz, who put that in your head?
Sure. So my father was the women's soccer coach at UNC Charlotte he started the program there for 4 or 5 years and then went to Vanderbilt and then went to Duke for the last 25 years of his career. He was at Duke. So I grew up around coaching and obviously it was women's soccer. So different, but just that the coaching bug, like you said, I was always around sports and loved all sports and obviously basketball I was really drawn to. And probably I think ninth grade My freshman year, my first game, we played P.J. Tucker's high school team. And he was at Raleigh Enloe, and I was at Riverside in Durham. And
right then, still I realized playing. I wasn't going to play the NBA. He's still playing. Yeah.
But, all right, I guess coaching's my route. I learned very quickly watching that game from the bench that, okay, there's levels to this. Yeah, he actually helped me, I guess, to further my career. I realized that I need to get into coaching, not playing. And Coach Lutz was so gracious to give me an opportunity. And then I think about your staff, Coach, where all those guys are your original staff. And Coach Perry is still a good friend of mine. And I see Coach Odom quite a bit.
Yeah,
and
no, that's definitely a common thread in your
past. Yeah, no, I've just been fortunate to meet a lot of great people on the way. Yeah,
people kick down the door for you, or sometimes just crack open the door for you, whatever that looks like. But yeah, you've been surrounded by some winners, put it that way.
Been very fortunate, very fortunate.
No, it's nice to be able to one, have those people, because it's an unfortunate thing is some people just don't have the models or the people that can help them transition from one position to the next. So it's unfortunate for some people, but then like when you do have those opportunities and you actually realize that you have the people that you can look up to that really are going to help you, it helps a ton, especially because then if you have coaches that are working alongside you, as you said, a young Dusty May, you're working alongside him, you don't know where that relationship's going to go. And ultimately you transition into something where, you know, he's a head coach at multiple spots and he's one of the people that you work for throughout the whole thing. So it's nice to be able to at least be around those types of people that you never know where people are going to make it either. I guess that's a good way to point out too.
Sure. I vividly remember having a conversation with my dad. Obviously we talked a lot about the coaching business, especially when I was younger. And I remember telling him that even when I had first met Coach May, maybe even a month into the job, just this guy's really special. He's going to be a really successful high level coach one day. And we hit it off immediately as friends and as people. And then watching him be an assistant, it was a great role model for me as a young GA video guy, and certainly taking a lot of those lessons as I've elevated my career.
So let me ask, You mentioned it there. Now, obviously, we'll talk about your background more, but you mentioned it, so I want to make sure to ask, like, what made Dusty May, as a young assistant, seem so special and stand out to you and to people around you?
Yeah, gosh, we could have a whole 3-hour show about that, but just to hit the highlights, I would just say his investment in people is just so genuine. Anybody, I know Coach Major, you know him a little bit. He makes you feel like you're your best friend, and he's genuine, super genuine. He wants to help people get better, and even to his own detriment at times, just does anything he can to help anybody he meets, and is unbelievably loyal. And then the other thing that really stands out is his desire to keep improving. You know, he's a totally different coach, a lot of the same principles, but he's changed his coaching style throughout the years to just to come better and better, and to be more impactful with the young men we're coaching today, as opposed to 10 or 15 years ago. And it's impressive that he this offseason, whether we win the national championship or lose in the first round, the next day he'll be in his office working his butt off to become a better coach for next season.
Well, we'll come back to him in a second. The Kyle Church episode and the Dusty May pod.
It's contagious.
But we'll come back to him in a second. As you've gone from one spot to the next, are there any particular things that you yourself have challenged yourself in terms of getting better as a coach? And maybe put it this way, what would you say the biggest leap that you've made from the time when you actually were able to, I know as a GA, you're able to get on the court and do that, but just from a full-time assistant space and now to getting, let's just say the last 5 to 10 years, what's the biggest jump you've made as a coach yourself?
Yeah, great question. I think there's so many, I really want to master my role. I'm not in a head coach yet. And when I was a video guy, I wasn't an ops guy. When I was an ops guy, I wasn't an assistant. So I always thought as I was working my way up, my job in the ops was to support the assistants in any way I could. My job in the video was to support the ops guy and the assistants anyway. My job as an assistant now, I feel like it's to support Dusty in any way I can. And now, obviously, I've taken on this new role of the GM. First and foremost, here at Michigan, everywhere is obviously structured different. But here at Michigan, every single one of our assistants still are involved in every aspect of our program. I'm unbelievably fortunate again to work with Mike Boyden, Justin Joyner, Akeem Mustine, Drew Williamson, and then our support staff, KT and Brandon Gilbert and Jacob. All these guys are just really good at what they do. And we all do participate in every aspect from skill development to scouting, to recruiting, to roster building. So it's really cool to work hand in hand with all these guys that are tremendous young coaches. And I think taking on the role of the general manager now, I guess I've had to pour more resources, more brain power maybe into what building a roster looks like, what managing finances look like, what makes sense as far as the roster breakdown, because you can't just get you can't afford it. Just go get the 10 best players in the country. And a lot of times that doesn't work either. So diving in with a bunch of NBA teams, diving yeah. into just different of how to build a roster sense for this year.
Speaking of roster, obviously talent has got to get a kid through the door. But when you're at a place like yourselves and you're doing what you guys are doing, there's a phrase that Coach mm-hmm. Mata used to use, and he didn't mean it in a bad way. He meant it he was complimenting the school and saying this, but he used to say Ohio State's not for everybody. And so what is the DNA now of a Michigan basketball player? Let's put talent on the shelf, because obviously that's got to be part of it. But then there's some other things that make a program exceptional. And without getting yourself fired, of course, share whatever you feel you can. I think you see where I'm going with that question, because that's an identity piece that every team's got to look themselves in the mirror and make a decision.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll say this for any of the younger coaches, younger listeners, and Coach Major, you know this as well as anybody. It's really not the players that you like as an assistant. And you think there's so many that are really good, right? It's the ones that are going to fit best with what you do and fit best with your head coach. At the end of the day, that's you want to bring in players that your head coach like and like coaching. And then obviously that requires a lot of talent, but it also requires figuring out what your head coach wants in a basketball player. And I think our whole staff knows we want people that like passing the basketball first and foremost. First and foremost, coach wants people to like pass. You look at our four guys we brought out of the portal. I would say three of them, Elliot, Cadeau, Yaxel, Adai Mara, their best attribute is how well they pass the ball. And that's from a point guard, a wing, and a center. All three of them, their best attribute is how they pass. And then the fourth one is just an absolute monster, Merez Johnson, who any coach in the world would love to coach. That was a no-brainer. So getting guys that like to pass the ball, getting guys that love basketball, that's the other thing. Dusty is completely obsessed with basketball, obsessed with the game, and wanting to get better. And so it's very important to bring in guys that want to be in the gym, that want to work, that basketball is important to them. Well, we start there, and then probably a second tier type thing would be size and athleticism is important. We like switching. Yeah. We love our size.
Well, you guys beat Illinois in
a completely different way at FAU.
Excuse me, Cole, but, here. It's the end of the season. Your body tells you who's in charge.
Size and athleticism is really important. But secondary
your biggest
to that,
stat
those
in the
two.
Illinois stat line recently, I thought, is Illinois. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay.
No
this
question.
Is a switching monster team. Because you literally went almost an entire 40 minutes by limiting the number of times you could probably count on both hands where you finished a possession or a possession at some point had two people yep. on the ball. And Illinois specializes in pulling two people on the ball because they're like a bunch of grown men at Lifetime Fitness that keep beating all the athletic younger guys and they can't figure out how they're doing it. Because when I watched them play USC, and I was like, "This is you'd see this at Lifetime Fitness, a bunch of 40-year-old guys that play every
sure,
day,
sure.
and all the athletic former players come in, and they think they can. Oh, we're going to run these guys. We'll hold the court. No, you won't." And but that's I right. thought that was the biggest stat of the game, is that they only had 9 assists because you guys' ability to switch, and you're so positionally interchangeable on that end of the floor. And this time of the year,
they're number one offense in the country.
8 seconds or less, whether it's conference tournament or NCAA tournament, and the ability to stay in front of the ball and keep it out of the paint and make people shoot over fingertips. I'm telling you, man. I may be. I just thought when I saw that stat line, that was the number nine just jumped off like a big bold. I just thought that was a huge stat that speaks to you guys defensively, I think.
No, I appreciate it. That is definitely by design. I think you could go back and even to our last 3 or 4 years at FAU, we did a phenomenal job. We want to make teams play one-on-one. We want to make them take contested twos. Everybody does. That's not alarming. But I think we did a ton of switch at FAU. We've obviously carried it over here to Michigan. And like you said, I think
oh, man.
It bogs you
People
down.
Forget the bonus
it
effect
you
of
play
all
more
of everything
one-on-one
you
than you
just
probably
said
want to.
stops.
We
So
got,
now
hopefully,
you're
offensively,
getting out
we
and
have the
running
ball
and
moving
you're getting some
and
bonus
bounce
points
around.
because
It would
you're
be
in transition
another team
now.
from doing that
And
and getting
that's taking the pressure
switching
off the
and the
half court
size and
because this time of
athleticism
year,
obviously
again,
a huge
these
part of that.
next 10, 11 games or 8, 9 games or however many you feel like you need to get to the end, it comes down to easy baskets. It literally comes down to that. Like, how many can you get? And how many can you limit them getting in all the ways that they can come, whether it's transition, half court, putbacks, free throw line? But you guys really make people earn it, and it shows watching you play. There are very few free looks, Dougie. I don't know if you've seen these dudes play, but very few free looks.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yes.
yeah.
No, we have a
No, I'm
special
telling
group.
you.
They take. They're obviously really good offensively, like we talked about, but they take that end of the game very serious. And it's really how we've been able to separate in a lot of these games is getting stops. And then in transition, we're just a load pulling these guys downhill.
So you're talking on building the roster from the traits and personality perspective, but then on the flip side of things, now again, I want to reiterate, obviously, please share what you feel comfortable with this, but from the general manager standpoint, obviously people are getting paid now, and we won't go into specifics and we're not asking that, but just more, how does one, I guess a big question I hear a lot is like, how does a team really look at, okay, this kid deserves this much, this kid deserves this much? How do you really break down how much somebody's worth? And you don't even have to talk on your roster. You could talk on maybe like a made up roster, however you feel comfortable.
Yeah, great, great question. And I think that's one of the probably a little bit of frustration around the country is
Man.
trying to figure out what the market looks like. I think everybody is pretty much came around to the idea that these guys deserve especially a big slice of this pie. And I think we're as coaches and as a coach, I'm extremely happy for them. It's awesome to see their families at every game and a nice apartment, nice stuff. And especially from even just 5 to 10 years ago, knowing some of the struggles of these guys. So it's been awesome. This whole thing's been great overall. But one of the frustrations is trying to figure out what the market looks like. Obviously, there's a lot of people with their hands involved and that have different things at stake
Yes.
here. And trying to figure out what somebody's worth, what someone's value is extremely difficult because there's no way to know for sure any sort of regulatory system. We just almost do it all feel. You take an inventory. Hopefully, you're working with people you trust. The good thing at our level, this high major level, is there's huge agencies involved now. It's the biggest agencies in the world. So they're a lot more reputable. And there's more than just that player at stake. We want to work with all these agencies as we go forward. There's a lot of reputations on the line too. So I think that's helping that balance out the regulatory. But yeah, just talking with the staff, figuring out what get as much information as you can, figuring out when we go and work, sit down with a player and start talking money or sit down with their representation, we want to come to a good deal that makes sense for both sides, right? We want both parties to leave happy. We don't want to feel like we got over on the player. We don't want the player to feel like they got over on us. And so what's a fair number? And at some point you can't reach a fair number, and that's okay. There's a ton of great basketball schools out here, and there's somebody that'll eventually, given what they're looking for, or that's fine too. So I think that's a big part of navigating. There's got to be a walk away point, assuming like 99% of the schools here that you just don't have a bottomless budget.
Yeah,
You got to
no,
be
you know
willing to
what's
walk away
funny?
at some point. And thankfully, all of our
Doug,
guys
as
have
you get deeper into basketball,
sacrificed a
you'll
lot.
realize
There's not a single guy
that you
that
can't
we've given the
legislate
most money to
integrity.
that they've been offered, not even close.
You can legislate a
So
lot of
they've all
things,
sacrificed a
but
lot to play
you
on a really,
cannot
really good
legislate
team, which in pro
integrity.
sports too.
What you guys, it seems like you're a big sifter It's like the miners with gold, right? You had to get the sand out and see what you had. When the water and the sand, you keep shaking it. But you guys' big sifter is, obviously, if you love basketball, you're going to find a way to figure the other stuff out. But it's the people that maybe come right through the door thinking the number. That's where you, that those are the ones you kind of got to sift out of the, you're like, ah, you know what? They may not be for us. But when people love basketball, and obviously collectively your staff loves basketball, not just coaching, but the game itself, right, and what's right about the game. You guys love that. And so you're trying to draw what you're trying to attract, what you feel, and you're trying to attract people that feel the same way. And obviously there are a lot of great players out there that may not basketball. They like what the game can bring and they like the cool stuff, but the game itself, maybe they play because they're talented. Maybe they play because their uncle or somebody expected them to play versus truly loving the game. And it's, I'm not saying you're going to have everybody up and down the roster feel that way, but my whole point is from an integrity perspective and like loving the game, like those are the guys, like you said, they were willing to say, you know what, let me be part of something really special here, because you only get so many chances in life to be really a part of something special. And if you love the game, then that's worth the sacrifice. That makes it worth it to take a leap and be around some people that feel the way you do about the game.
Yeah, Coach. No, I think it's really hard to put a monetary value on all the memories, all the special times we've had, this unbelievable regular season we just finished, and hopefully making more. And we talk about a lot, sacrificing a little bit now can pay off big down the line. And I think especially this year, we've really just hit gold with these guys we brought in. And it's not to be overlooked about our older guys that have accepted and embraced these guys, especially taking on these huge roles that they have. And I think the thing behind the scenes is how well these guys have came together as teammates and as players. And it's been special to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it shows. It shows you that your connectivity is, it's internal first, but then obviously it's bleeds to the defensive end. And then that's why the ball's flying around on the other end, because it just shows. We could do a whole pod on it, on that alone, just being unselfish. But it shows watching you guys play. Literally jumps off the screen.
No, that's awesome. No question. It means a lot.
No, and I feel like that's one of the biggest points, at least. I don't know, and I mean, you guys can speak better than me on this, but I feel like majority of the teams that have success, one of the biggest pieces is the camaraderie and then the culture. I feel like now I'm sure there are probably a few teams out there that have had success without having a good locker room. Maybe there was but they found a way to make it work. I'm sure that's happened. Yeah. But at least the teams that I've seen and talked to and been around, I feel like majority of it is just the culture piece. The people they can get along, the upperclassmen are the leaders. They're the ones who are putting their feet forward, teaching the young bucks on how to do things. But then everybody else is just following suit. I feel like that's one of the biggest things, that culture. As long as everybody is diving in, 100% in, the rest just follows suit. And I know we say this on here all the time, but it starts with the upperclassmen, the player-led teams, and then obviously the coaching staff, the head coach, and trickles down to the rest of them. So it speaks a testament to you guys. Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely. And your best player as your coach. The guys know who your best player or two is from day one. Yeah. And it's a guy has a big role.
It's funny. More people are okay with that than people think.
Sure.
I think people sometimes think when money comes in and you got there's the jealousy and there's always finger pointing every day in the locker room. He missed three shots in a row in practice today. How come he's getting that much? Like people think, there's this perception that that's all over the place, and maybe it is, but that's usually if a team is not very good, I could see that. But great teams know, OKC, those guys know number two is, that's our guy now. He's okay. And number two cares about everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And as a result, they get it. All right. He is worth $300 million. Yeah. But it's bigger than just performance, though, because it's how those guys treat the other guys.
Absolutely.
And so once if that guy is locked in that way and he's a great teammate, that puts out a whole bunch of fires.
Absolutely. But that's if the passing piece comes into play too.
There you go.
So yeah, that's when you see it tangibly on the court is when your best player, your best players, or whatever, your highest paid guy, however you want to word it, when those guys want to share the basketball, that sends a big statement to your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Something stood out when I watched him at the combine because I really didn't get to see him last year too much before he joined you guys. But the thing that frightened me in a good way for you guys, like this dude's really, they're going to be really good. He's gigantic, first of all. But there were multiple times in these combine games, I'm going, wait a minute. He's using pick and rolls.
Absolutely.
Like typically guys like that, as his size, are on the receiving end.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Or he's setting them.
Yep.
I was like, wait a minute. He's using them?
Yeah.
And making the right play several times.
It's ridiculous.
Sometimes, and he knew how to sometimes fold his cards and just throw it ahead.
Yeah.
There's okay, nothing. All right. It's like a batter taking a walk. Yeah, yeah. I'm not chasing. I didn't get what I wanted. That, when I saw that last spring at the combine, I was like, wait a minute now. This is not normal. And so when you have a guy that skilled, that unselfish, that defensively versatile, I mean, that, and again, you're not a one-man team. I know that. But I just thought, like, he is a – I know he's appreciated in a lot of ways. Obviously, the NBA guys know. But he's a bit of a basketball unicorn now. There hasn't been a guy around college basketball like that in a long time. It's that big, but then with that skill set that he's got.
Absolutely. And then the coolest thing, obviously, if you watch him and you're around him, you see all that stuff. But behind the scenes is what a great teammate he is, how close he is to his teammates, how much he loves to see other people be successful. He could score 20 points a night if he wanted to, but he puts his teammates way ahead of scoring points, and and everybody else on the team for that matter. Just that unselfishness, I think, has just been the secret to, you know, the success so far, and hopefully carry us through here.
Yeah, you know, you guys are gonna be a tough out. Let's just say that. I don't want to jinx anybody or anything like that, but you guys would be a tough out for sure.
Coach, one thing I want to ask you too, I know we've been talking on the GM side more, but really just being an assistant also, you cover two roles. With that being said, I know you said all assistants have a lot of hands in on a lot of different realms. So you really have your hands in on a lot with the GM, with the assistant. How does one balance both of those? Do you still have to do scouting reports? Do you still have to do like the main stuff that most assistants have to do on top of all the GM as well?
That's correct. I meant to bring that up when you ask about my transformation as going on. I really enjoy the scouting side of things. I think it's really fun, especially looking at it from our defensive point of view, figuring out kind of team's DNA and what makes them tick and how to shut that down and how they're going to look to attack us and to do it better than other days, but doing the best we can and trying to get the players most prepared for that game. It's kind of your chance to be a head coach for that day or a couple days leading into it. That's something I really enjoy, and our staff's really good at it. I've learned a ton from these other guys. And so, yeah, I do have all the same responsibilities as assistant. And again, there's five of us, and I think all my four colleagues as assistants, I think every one of them could easily be successful. I shouldn't say easily, but can be a successful head coach and will be a successful head coach one day. Obviously, Coach Boyden's already done that very high level, and I'm sure we'll do it again really soon. But it's great working with these guys, and we all do a little bit of everything, player development in the guys in the gym with the guys one-on-one. As far as recruiting goes, we're all making phone calls, doing everything we can to bring the best pieces we can, and then sit in a room and figure out which ones are the best ones to bring in and which ones make the most sense. And so it's really, I have the title of the GM and the assistant, but we really all work hand in hand. And obviously Dusty's at the forefront of that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's gotta be one time consuming for sure. Having to balance all those different things. I know. So I'm not going to compare by any means of the words, but I do a small scale of fundraising and raising money for our athletic department at a Division III university. So again, Sure. I'm basically like a cup of water to you being an ocean. But it's cool to be able to see, because I, like I said, I do a small portion and I'm also an assistant. So balancing both of them is not easy. And then especially at a larger scale, I'm sure it's a lot more challenging, but it's definitely rewarding in the end of the day, especially once you see all the work you're putting in and the success that you guys have been having. But it's cool to be able to see both of those. And I feel like the GM role, are those really on all staffs now, or are those starting to be like implemented a lot more? You think that's going to, that's definitely the future, right?
Yeah, I think there's most high majors, I would say coach major. You can jump.
I would agree.
Most high majors have one designated. If they don't have one designated, there's certainly someone doing it. There's someone that has to be in charge of, if nothing else, just the bookkeeping and making sure the mechanics of all this stuff is executed properly, because between rev share and NIL and collectives and administration, donors and raising money and negotiations and age, I could just go on. There's got to be somebody that at least has the notes in the organization of it, whether it's the official title or not, doesn't really matter. Yeah. But for me, it's great individually just to have it, because it's an easy entry point for agents. So I've talked to more agents in the last year and a half than I have in
your whole career combined,
which has actually been really cool. It's been fun. That's the other thing. It's cool. Like, every day is a little bit different. Some days I'm locked in on what Michigan State's doing, and then the next day I'm talking to a million people trying to figure out what the roster looks like, and then the next day I'm spending couple hours on the court with the players and helping them work on whatever they need. And then the next day we're putting together a golf outing and Zooms for our biggest donor. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's
cool,
challenging, and obviously super rewarded.
Yeah. The common thread from literally the start of this thing, when Doug kicked this thing off, to now, it's literally been one common thread, and that's good people.
Absolutely.
Because even with everything you're doing, you're surrounded by a staff of just unbelievable guys, and you guys are connected. It's not like Dusty just talks to Coach Boynton and Akeem, and then everybody else say, "Oh yeah, we'll catch you guys up on what we talked about later." You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That happens a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's guys that, you know, are a bit, shall we say, as we try to be truth tellers on this pod, overconsumed with having the coach's ear versus finding solutions.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the fact that you guys are a community, you walk in the building and it's like, how do we make Michigan better today? It's like, literally, it just feels like that's the ultimate question that everybody's trying to answer. And there's a million, I won't say a million, but there's several ways to answer that question based on, again, is it recruiting? Is it player development? Is it, how do we beat those freaking guys down the road in East Lansing? Whatever it is, how do we make Michigan better today? And Absolutely. Everybody, it feels like everybody in the building is just consumed with that one question. And then how does that one question apply with whatever that topic is?
Yep.
And so when you have that, and the talent, and you're connected, and people care, things usually go pretty well.
Yeah.
So
it's a special recipe, and it
takes all that, though.
It's more important now than ever, especially at this high major level. Staffs are massive. There's a ton of people, and all it takes is one person not rolling in the same direction, and that thing steers off course. And as a coach, the players see it.
They're brilliant. Quicker. They don't get nearly enough credit for being as sharp as they are.
I think we try to be great role models for our guys. I think they see our collective coaching teamwork and the lack of egos there, which I think helps them, even if it's not even subconsciously, I think helps them. And so I couldn't say enough great things about the guys I get to work with every single day, and just been a really special run.
Awesome. Love it, brother.
Well, Coach, I wanted to throw two quick questions more in our hot seat segment. So the hot seat is really just two unscripted or more like interview questions, just to throw them out. See your mindset.
That's a tough word this month. So don't, you guys will definitely have
the hot seat. That's
the hot seat. The hot seat. No, so really just more kind of quicker questions, quicker answers. But number one, if a young coach wants to stand out in today's world, and from your viewpoint, what's one thing that they should start doing immediately, you feel?
The funny thing is, it's like when you try to stand out, it usually leads to veering in the wrong direction, to be honest. I think just showing, just always being present, it would be the biggest thing, the biggest advice. Stay, being the first one there, the last to leave, always around to help out. And whether maybe you go 2 weeks without even doing any, you're just on your computer killing time, whatever, just being there, being present, and not trying to impress anybody, but just doing the job that's given to you. Try to be forward thinking and try to solve problems before they get to the, like I talked about, the next level, whether that be the video coordinator, the director of ops, assistant, but just being around, being available, and just trying to support those people that you're working under.
Everybody wants to hit a grand slam, but you can't hit a grand slam if you're not hitting singles and getting on base.
Sure. And I was of it too. I'm sure all of us are to some extent, but and you just learn as you go. And as you get older, you just think 25, you think you have all the answers, and you just learn so much as you go. And obviously we still have a long ways to go, but it's amazing. If you can just be around and be open to learning, and like I talked about, just all the, you just never know where these other people are going that are around you. You get so focused on what you're doing and what your career looks like. It's amazing how the coaches I've been around, what they've gone on to do and become, and it's really cool.
And then, first off, that's absolutely great. That is great. And then the second one is just like a spinoff a little bit of, I know we've been talking a lot about being on the GM side, working with the portal, all of that. Just from your opinion, from programs that succeed in the portal, from ones that do not, you know, what do you feel? And we touched on it a little bit, what you guys look for in the recruiting process, but just what separates a program that succeeds rather than does not succeed from the transfer portal?
I think it's the personalities you bring in. I think time and time again, it's not always the team with the most talent. It's more times than not the team that is most connected and has those unselfish personalities. And obviously there's a prerequisite level of talent that we have to get at this level, but you have to get really good people. You have to get teammates that people want to play with, teammates that people want to be around. And a lot of times it's a little bit of a guessing game. There's some blind faith. There's some tough conversations. You got to have people around them that you trust, so you understand what you're getting yourself into. But yeah, I think that's probably the easiest way to veer off in the portal is by bringing in maybe a guy that's maybe not quite the numbers, but man, that character's there.
Yes. Yeah. Only takes one, as you mentioned.
Yeah, like it does.
Our hardest thing we compete against is obviously your schedule, but you're trying to compete against society because society says you can't be a true team. There's always somebody that's going to be, what about me? You can't do that. You really can't do that.
Sure.
And what we're trying to do is say, yeah, you can do that. And what drives us every day when we wake up in the morning as coaches, we still believe you can do that. And you guys are right now, about, I can't speak for all the other top 5-10 teams, but you guys are about as close to that as society saying that you can't do. You guys are about as close to doing that as anybody. And it's so fun to prove society wrong.
Sure.
Because we're in a me, how fast track state of mind as a society, and so to actually do something that's old school and special, and it's been pretty cool to watch. And I know just day to day it's a joy just to be around. This has been awesome, man. We really appreciate you jumping on, brother.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me. This is great. Big fan of what you guys have done.
Thank you. We do appreciate that.
Glad we have one. We got one out there. Try to get two. We can get the two and we can get the four. We'll talk about eight later.
We're building up.
That's right.
You definitely have. You got whatever it is, 7 or 8 of us over here. They're big fans of what you're doing and appreciate helping grow the game and making better coaches.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's a plan.
No.
That's a plan.
Again, thank you. I know you're getting into your busy. It's been busy, but busy your time too. So thank you for just taking some time, being able to chat with us. Best of luck moving forward. When we're recording this, for reference for everybody, this is before any of the tournaments start. So hopefully there's some bigger news going forward, but good luck moving forward. And thank you all for being on here. That does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. All you coaches, keep working and keep rising. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.